All right, you ready? All right, praise God. As you know, this year, God has laid on my heart heavy that we need to stop just talking Christianity and start being Christians. Amen? Lord, I think for the next 50-plus weeks that we got until the end of the year, you're going to hear one message over and over and over again from different places of the Bible where God has commanded us not to sit still but to move forward. Where God has commanded us, like we studied in Sunday school, and y'all, if you ain't coming to Sunday school, you ought to be. Amen? God is calling us to go back and dig the wells of righteousness again. He's calling us to go back, and this might be next week's message. I don't know, because I studied it this past week. But God has called us to go back and to look into the Word of God and find out what's right and what's wrong and stand on righteousness. Not our own opinions, but what God, Jesus Christ, has said to us. There is a book, and it's the Bible, but there's several little books in this Bible. One is Isaiah, and it's probably one of my most favorite books about prophecy. It's books about Israel. It's a book about the church. It's a book about us. And in this book, in chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, we're going to see some neat stuff today. We're going to see what Isaiah saw. Amen. We're going to see the Lord God high and lifted up. We're going to see His train filling the temple. We're going to see some really wonderful things that Isaiah saw. And then towards the end of this, in verse 8, God's going to ask us, who will I send? Who will go for me? And that's what we'll be talking about today as we get into the Word of God. The calling is, whom shall I send? I believe that call is alive today as much as it was in His day. Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Who's going to proclaim the day of the salvation of God? Who's going to do it? God's looking for a few good people. He's looking for people, good people. We know none are good. Amen. He's looking for willful, broken vessels. Amen. He's looking for folks who says, not my will, but thine will be done. Not my skin be saved, but Lord, may I save the skin of somebody else by sacrificing my own. How can I help the least of these to bring them into the grace and the power of the Most High God? God is going to ask Isaiah here. He says, who will I send? Who's going to go for me? I want you to hold that in your mind all day today. I want you to think on that. Is God calling you? And not is God. That's a question. This needs to be a statement. God is calling you. Whom will He send? Why did He save you? Why did He pour His blood, His life on your life? What did He call you? What did He command you to do? Who's He going to send? Who's going to be willing to do the thing that God has called them to do? Who's going to be willing to lay down their life and give it all for Jesus Christ? Who, which one of you, all of you, any of you, is anyone today going to say, today, this day, I'm going to give everything to Jesus? To hell with my life. My life doesn't matter anymore. My neighbor's dying and going to hell, and I care. My family is dying and going to hell, and I'm crying. I'm broken. I'm ripped apart because of this. Who's going to go? Well, before you go, you got to understand who Jesus Christ is. Amen? And it was in chapter 6 that the year that King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord sitting upon His throne. Amen. He's high and He's lifted up. His train fills the temple, and above it I stood seraphim, and each had six wings, and with twain they covered their faces, and with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And he cried, and one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with His glory. Let me ask you, people, do you see Jesus Christ that way? Do you see the train of His train filling your temple? You are the temple of Jesus Christ. You are the church. You're the people of God. Do you see His glory in your life? If you don't see His glory in your life, then you need to repent, because Jesus wants to send His Holy Spirit and not just dwell in you, but to rule in your life. But He will not rule in an unclean vessel. He wants you to repent and come out of your wickedness and hold on to His righteousness, that He can be high and lifted up in your life, that the whole world can see the train of His, the train of His garment in your life, His glory, His righteousness, His goodness living in you. You are called the church. The church, the holy one, separated, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, people, wake up. Wake up. The days are growing shorter. We don't have much time left. I don't know. I see the things that are spoken of in Matthew chapter 24, the things that are spoken of in the Revelation. They're appearing before us every day. We're closer and closer and closer and closer. And I don't know when that day is going to be, when God's going to shut the door and not another soul will come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you need to make up your mind. Stop being a faker. Start being a witness for Jesus Christ. And it must be in your life. See, I can't do this for you. You've got to do this for Him. You've got to trust Him further and more. You've got to see Him as He is, high and lifted up. His train is filling the temple. And then you say to yourself, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the whole earth is full of His glory. Have you ever said that? I mean, as the angels were saying it, the angelic host, the seraphim flying, He is so holy they can't look at Him. He is so righteous that their feet, they're covered up. They don't want to even show none of themselves before Him. But holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the earth, the whole earth is filled to His glory. Church, do you believe that? If you believe that, then you ought to be living that. It's holy. He is holy. He's high. He's lifted up. He's separated. The glory of God. Let me ask you, do you say those things in verse 14? And the post of the door were moved by the voice of Him who cried. Are you proud of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, if you were at your football game today, amen? If you were there, would you? I see it. This time of the year makes me crazy because I see all these people screaming and hollering for their favorite ball player, right? Or for their favorite oblong or round or whatever. They're praying or screaming. How about those liberals who are burning stuff in the street? Do they believe what they're saying? Absolutely, they believe it. Where are you, church? Do you believe it enough to do something? Do you believe it enough to live righteously? Do you believe Jesus Christ is holy, holy, holy in your life? Do you believe it enough to make a difference? Oh man, we got to start making a difference. We got you. I'm breaking here, people. I don't understand what's wrong with the church today. We don't see Him as who He is. We don't believe Him for what He is. And it's breaking my heart. Church, we got to get right with Jesus Christ. Are you saying it loud enough? Are the posts of your doors shaking with the voice of Him who cries? Oh, are you lifting Him up? Are you even coming to Him humbly, as Isaiah is about ready to say in verse 5? And he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Are you there? Are you there? Have your eyes seen God? Have you seen Him? Have you experienced Him? And you say, well, no man has ever seen God. No, you can see Him. Have you seen Him in worship? If you worship Jesus Christ, have you ever gotten into your prayer closet and locked the door and you worship Him, you praise Him, and you see His very presence around you? The glory of God anointing you, the presence of God touching your heart. You were lost and now you're found. The glory of God has touched you. But do you act like it? Have you ever come to the Lord and say, God, I am unclean, cleanse me? That's what I'm asking the church to do today. The church, the people within the sound of my voice, praise God, we got folks that listen all over the world through this radio broadcast, through this internet thing that's going on. Praise God that there is somebody out there that's going to hear this and maybe they will grab a hold of the gospel. Maybe someone throughout the world will hear and say, yes, God, here am I, send me. They'll say, yes, God, cleanse me. Yes, God, break me. Yes, God, I need your your touch. I need your glory. I need it enough to give myself, not partially, but fully to you. I'm broken. Woe is me. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one flew over. One of the seraphim flew over and having a live coal in his hand. Amen. Having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. Oh, folks, we need to be willing to do this. Look at what that angel did. I don't know how many of y'all have ever kissed a Kingsford charcoal. Amen. Burning. It'll put a blister on you, right? I've never kissed one. I picked one up off the ground like an idiot, and it left blisters, right? This is a coal from the very presence of God. It was hot enough that an angel had to take it with a tong. Amen. And he took it, he put it in his hand, and he came over to Isaiah, and he touched it to his lips. And he laid it upon my lips and my mouth in verse 7, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of him saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? That's the question today. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? I hope that you can catch a hold of the passion that God is calling for this time, this age that we're living in. You know, it's no mistake. God had you born in the time that you were born in. He made you a Christian. He bought you out of the sin-wrenched hell that you were in. He brought you out of darkness into light for the time that you're in today. Because there's so much unrighteousness, there's so much nastiness, there's so much vileness in the earth that he has called us to be alive today, to reach out with his goodness and his grace and share the love of Jesus Christ to everybody around you. He didn't save you in a vacuum. Amen. He saved you out in the world where the world, and we ought to be burning bright for Jesus Christ. We ought to be setting our lives and our hearts apart for the Lord with a holy passion to be sent. The Lord Jesus, he's calling us today. Whom shall I send? Have you been cleansed from your sin? I believe that I know the folks that are in this body right here, and I believe that most of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. I believe some of you, most of you, have touched the fire of God, or the fire of God has touched your lips, has cleansed you from your iniquity. The blood of Jesus Christ was poured over top of you. You accepted his propitiation for your sin, his covering. You accepted that, right? You've been touched, you've been cleansed. And so after you've been cleansed, after you've been touched, Jesus says, who's going to go for me? Who's going to go and proclaim the day of salvation? Who's going to do that? Where are you going to do it at? How are you even wanting to go out and preach the gospel? Oh, folks, I tell you, I don't know how much time we got left, but I know that we got today. Amen. You got right now. You heard the commandment of Jesus right before he left the earth, right? We just went over it over the last couple of weeks. I talked about sheep and lambs going out among the wolves, right? And proclaiming the good news, going out with a boldness, going out with a surety in Christ Jesus. A lamb being protected by the shepherd in amongst the wolves, proclaiming the day of salvation for anybody who would hear. That's what I talked about for this, the first 4 months, four weeks of this year. Amen. Or 3 weeks. I don't know. How many weeks are we into January? 3rd. 3 weeks. Amen. And so how he has called us to do that. It is, he's called us in this present day, and the need has not changed. The need still to reach out and to touch the people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that God is alive? Go ahead, say amen or say no. Amen. Amen. Do you believe it? Because if you believed it, it ought to be evident in your life. There ought to be proofs that you believe it. Amen. And God's saying, I am alive. Will you walk with me? Will you follow my champion? You know who the champion of God was? Is? Go ahead, say his name. Christ. He is Jesus. Jesus, the name above all names, the name in which every knee will bow, the name in which the only name in which man can be saved is Jesus the Christ. He is your champion. He's gone before you. He filled you with His Holy Ghost. And He said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I taught you. What has God taught you? Has He taught you to be a coward? Has He taught you to sit in your pew? Has He taught you to keep your mouth shut about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did He save you that you would be ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ? Is that why He saved you? No. He saved you that you would be bold in Christ. Stand up and be counted. Stand up. Proclaim the good day. Proclaim the good news of the day of Jesus Christ. People are dying out there. People are dying and they're going into judgment. Their judgment awaits them. They're going to breathe their last breath. They're going to make a decision every minute of every day whether they're going to follow Christ or not. And what do they need? They need somebody who has the light in them. A city that's built on a hill should not be hid. You are the church of Jesus Christ. You have been built and set on a hill, and God is telling you to go and shine the goodness that He filled you, the glory that filled the temple, the glory that came into the earth, the glory that is in you. Proclaim it. Go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, because this is the day. This is the day God has made. This is the day. You may not have tomorrow. Your neighbor may not have tomorrow. People are dying and going into judgment every single day. What are you going to do about it? Because it's up to you. Jesus already paid it all. When He hung on the cross, He said, "It is finished." What do you think that means? He did everything He has to do. When He died on the cross, He stretched out His hands and He filled the gap between heaven and hell. He filled the gap between mortal man and immortal God. He filled that gap and He said, "I have paid it all. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through Me, and I am the bridge that takes care of the two sides." Now, how will they know? How's anybody going to know about that unless you tell them? And you need to tell them with a passion in your heart, with a desire for righteousness. I want to ask you this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Paul is saying, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Do you know that God has stuff prepared for you that you may never reach? If you don't start being a Christian, stop talking about being a Christian, and start being a Christian, there's things that you'll never recognize. There are people that will die and go to hell because you didn't do what God had called you to do. You didn't walk out. You didn't take the step of faith. You refused to walk in the righteousness of God. And because you refused to proclaim the day of the Lord, there may be somebody who was just dying to know Jesus. Really, dying to know Jesus. And He sent you there, but you were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and you would not proclaim it. I'm not saying that that person doesn't have another chance, because God always has another way. And those who are going to get saved will get saved. I don't know who they are, neither do you. But we are called, commanded by Jesus Christ to go out and proclaim His good news. We need to be bold. It's time for the lambs to wake up and walk in the righteousness. If you really want to see God working miracles, if you really want to see God doing things that only He can do, then you need to be a tool of His. You need to be, I keep bringing up George, or I could talk about Mike and Angela. I could talk about a lot of folks who have come here and stepped out by faith and done the things that God has called them to. Those people that came to Jesus Christ in Florida because of our Saint George, how you like that? Has Saint George Cole went out and proclaimed the good news out there? We know of at least 4 people that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ because he was willing, filled with the Holy Ghost, to go and do the things that nobody else in that area was doing. People who had been in a church their whole life and never heard the word of God. How did that happen? He went by faith and did the things that God called him to. Folks, unless we do, we won't. Well, you see, well, I was going to talk about the folks. I was going to hold George for last because I was going to talk about regular people in the Bible first. Remember in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 48. I ain't going to read the whole thing. Say amen. Praise God for that because that'd take a long time to do. And this is a story about Cornelius. Okay, and Cornelius, he was a Roman. All right, and he did a lot of good works. I mean, he built synagogues for the Jews and stuff like that. He cared for hurting folks, things like that. But there was still more that he needed to know. There came a time that his prayers were heard by God, and God sent an angel to him and said, "Hey, Corn," they're close, or Cornelius, whatever. And I said, "Cornelius, what I want you to do is I want you to send for a man named Peter. Okay, you'll find him on the other side of the Jordan over there. Go and find him. He's over by the sea." And so Cornelius, not really knowing the whole thing that was going to happen, sent his guards out to find Peter. And Peter, he was in a time of prayer and fasting, and he was on a roof, and all of a sudden there was a vision that appeared before Peter, and it was God sending down a sheet with all sorts of unclean folks, drunkards and alcoholics and drug addicts and prostitutes, or actually just unclean beasts like possum, turtle, stuff like that. Things that Jews weren't supposed to touch and eat. And he sent that sheet down and it came, and the angel or the vision told him, "Peter, go on, jump in there, kill and eat." Peter said, "Oh, please, God, I could never eat possum. You know, I can't eat pickled pig's feet. You know, I can't do that." And the thing gets pulled back up again, it's dropped back down. The angel, one more time, this happens three times, "Kill and eat, kill and eat." And then the Holy Spirit of God speaks to Peter and says, "Hey, Peter, the things that I have cleaned, don't you call dirty. Get out there and get you some pickled pig's feet. Go and get you some. It's good stuff." And at that time, there was a knock on the door. And guess who was there? It was the folks that Cornelius had sent. And then Peter said, "Y'all come on in and rest for the night. Tomorrow morning we'll head out and we're going to talk to Cornelius." Well, when Peter got to Cornelius' house, he preached the gospel. He told him who he was. He preached the gospel. The Holy Spirit fell on that place. People got saved. And guess what happened? The whole Gentile race was opened up to the gospel of Jesus Christ that day. What did that take? Obedient people willing to do the crazy stuff that God told them to do. God told Cornelius, "Hey, Cornelius, go over there and find a man named Peter. He's going to be in the tanner's house." Cornelius, by faith, sends his guards out there to go get him. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, not willing to touch anything unclean because he was a good Jew. He was a religious man. He was a good Jew. But he obeyed God above what he thought was right and wrong. He obeyed Jesus Christ. And he went and he met the need of the people. He walked by obedience. He saw the fullness and the glory of God. And he wanted to be a part of that work. And he said, "Yes, God, I will go." And he went and he proclaimed. And the whole Gentile world came to know about Jesus and his love on that day. Well, it started on that day. It spread out from there. There's another fellow. He's just a regular old deacon, regular old fellow. His name was Philip, right? And there's a great persecution in the church. Saul started raising up. He just killed Stephen, and Philip and them, deacons, they ran out, and Philip went to a town, and he was preaching. There's a revival going on. Folks were getting saved. Philip got a message from God. The Lord told him, "Hey, Phil, wake up." This is in Acts chapter 8. He says, "Hey, Phil, wake up. I need you to get out and go into the wilderness, walk out in the desert." Didn't say pack a bag, didn't say bring extra sandals, didn't say nothing. He said, "Just go." And Philip said, "Guess what? I'm going to go for a walk in the desert today." And he starts walking out there. I don't know how many miles, but I think it's a good bet. And he comes across a caravan going through the desert. And there was a man that was reading the Word of God there. Now, this man was from Ethiopia, and he was a treasurer of Ethiopia. So it was a big procession, you know, because the treasurer of the United States would not go out without his secret service men, right? So the same thing would be happening there. He's heading out, and he's riding, and he's reading. He's riding his chariot, and he's reading the Word of God. The Spirit of God says, "Hey, Phil, run over there and talk to that man." Okay, obedience. And he runs over, he talks to the man, he comes up beside him, and he hears the guy's reading out loud, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And Phil says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "Well, how can I? Let somebody tell me. There are people riding in a chariot Ethiopian eunuchs that you know, that know about Jesus Christ but need to hear the rest of the story. You're the Paul Harvey to them. You are the rest of the story. They know about Jesus Christ, but they need to know about Jesus Christ. And you are those people. You are the ones saved, sanctified, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And He has called you to go out into the desert, meet the needs of the people, regardless of what it is. Boldness of faith to trust God and to go and do what He has called you to do. What happened to that man? Well, he got saved. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He heard about His death, His burial, His resurrection. He heard, and then as he was driving along, they came across a little bitty water. He says, hey, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? He says, nothing. Jump off your chariot. Let's dive in. Phil baptizes him, and then all of a sudden, Phil is gone. Bam! Caught away. Amen? He was caught away to another place where he started another ministry there. See, eye has not heard, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard the things that are prepared for those who will believe and follow Jesus Christ. You don't know what He'll do to you or with you or through you until you step out by faith, until you take that step, until you really lean into Jesus Christ. Stop leaning on your own understanding and hold on to the righteousness of God. There's a need today, amen. That need is Jesus Christ. God is calling ordinary people all around us every day. People are hungering and thirsting and looking for righteousness. They're looking for something solid to hold on to. And folks, you're it. You're it. You are the body of Christ. And if you don't do what the body of Christ is supposed to do, folks will be groping in darkness, looking, searching, hungering for what you have. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 and 15. Those folks that we're talking about, Paul writing here to the church at Rome, he says, how then shall they call upon Him? How then shall they call upon Jesus Christ whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him, Jesus Christ, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Did you hear what Paul's talking to the church? What he's telling you and me today? There are people around you that are dying, going to hell. How will the lost world call upon Jesus Christ whom they have not believed? All right, and how are they going to believe in Jesus Christ if you're not there telling them about faith, living a life of faith before them? You are the preacher, amen? You'll say, well, I'm not a preacher. Oh, yeah, if you're born again, you're a preacher. You are a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might not be holding a pulpit and doing what I'm doing, but wherever you go, you are to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You're to preach, to edify, to lift up, to build up, to speak nothing but the oracles of God. Amen? And he says, how will they believe? And how shall they believe in Jesus Christ whom they have not heard? And the reason they have not heard is because the church hadn't been telling them about Jesus Christ. The church, you guys, us guys, we weren't telling the world about a saving Jesus Christ who loves them. We'll talk to them about the sporting events, right? We'll talk to them about mechanics. We'll talk to them about weather. We'll talk to them about everything except Jesus Christ. Anybody here have that problem? Amen? Hey, I'll raise my hand. There are times where I would rather talk about anything else except for Jesus Christ, but that is the time I must talk about Jesus Christ more than any other time. There is a spiritual war that we ain't seeing. And Jesus has not got the spirit of fear, but of faith. Amen? And if we're afraid to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, then that very well may be the person that needs to hear about Him most. And God sent you into the desert to proclaim the good news. He might be your Ethiopian. Amen? He might be that one person that needs to hear Jesus Christ, and He sent you there. It's your classmate that sits right beside you. It's the person working the machine right beside you. It's the desk cubicle right beside you. It's the person in the nursing home right beside you. It's that person, it's where you are at the moment. There are people on either side of you that are dying and going to hell, and one of them might need to hear, One of them needs to hear what you got to say. One of their hearts is going to be prepared to hear what you have got to say. But if you don't say it, they will not hear. You've got to proclaim it. You've got to preach it. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent or except they've been sent? Let me tell you, Jesus sent you. He born you by His blood. He paid your sin debt on the cross. And then He told us just before He ascended into heaven, His last commandment was go. When you're told to go, that doesn't mean stay. It means go. Proclaim the gospel. Teach people. There's a Casting Crown song out. And I just wrote the chorus of it here. Let this be your prayer. Maybe this time I'll speak the words of life with your fire in my eyes. When you talk, now this is no longer in the song. That was the one line I was going to tell you about. When we speak to people, let us speak the gospel of Jesus Christ with a fire in our eyes, with a heart, with a desire. Maybe this time when you talk to your friends this week, you'll speak with a fire in your eyes, with a belief that they will look at you and say, that person really, really believes what they're saying. Those folks burning cars, breaking windows in D.C. this past week, they believed what they were saying. Wrongfully, but they believed it, right? I mean, you ask them, you ask a Muslim or Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness preaching a false gospel, they will tell you they believe it. They believe it enough to do it. Now you have the truth of God's word in you. You got the real truth. You got the real thing, baby. Do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to proclaim it? Do you believe it enough to show righteousness? Do you believe it enough to speak the words, not talk about the weather, not talk about the ball game, not talk about the way your car is drinking gas, not talk about your family, not talk about the garbage that we normally talk about, but proclaim the day, the acceptable day of the Lord? Church, it is up to us. And if we don't go, if we don't teach, if we don't preach, your neighbors, your friends, your family will die and go to hell. And I understand why a lot of us don't do it, because we don't want to be disliked by our family. We don't want to be disliked by our friends. It's okay. It's okay. Jesus said, if you stand for me, they're not going to like you anyhow. Jesus said, they hated me because I stood for righteousness and I loved them. And if they hated me, they're going to hate you too if you stand for righteousness and love them. The problem is we say we love them, but we don't love them enough to let them hate us. You know, I'd love to tell you the truth, but I'm afraid you wouldn't be my friend if I told you the truth. So instead of me standing for righteousness before you, all right, I'll go to your side. And I'll say, well, yeah, you know, a little sin ain't going to hurt. You know, I'll just say I'm a safe place. I'll just say that you can come here and you can take your sin and hide it all around me, right? And it's okay. Well, no. You're the church. We're to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We're to proclaim the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are to live holy. Romans, I ain't even got this, but it just popped in my mind. Romans chapter 1. You need to go home and read it. And pay a very close attention to the last couple of verses, because he says, not only those who practice such things, but those who agree with those who practice such things deserve death. Yeah, if you agree with the unrighteousness of the world, you deserve to go to hell. That's exactly what he says. You deserve death if you agree with that. You don't have to practice it. You just got to say that what they're doing is okay. You got to say, it's okay. It's okay. It isn't hurting me. You know, just love the one you're with. Go ahead. You know, just do what feels good to you. Well, no. Jesus says no. They started worshiping the creature and stopped worshiping the Creator, and God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are unlawful. And it goes through a list of stuff, and I'm not going to get into that. Ain't you happy? Amen. We've got to be light shining in darkness. We've got to go into the world. How are the words of faith going to go out? Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. And it shall accomplish what I please, says God. Amen. What I please. And it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. The word of God. Who's going to go proclaim? Who's going to go? Who's going to be sent for him? Who's going to go and do that? God's got the power over the word. But you got to be willing to walk by faith enough to proclaim it. God, you don't got to worry about how it's going to affect them. You ain't got to worry about if it's going to save their soul. You don't have to worry about that. All you got to do is proclaim it. Jesus, God says right here, so shall my words goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. So when you speak the word of God, it's going to produce something. It's either going to produce love and repentance or hatred, one or the other. But it doesn't give you the right not to proclaim the word that was given to you. We must go out and proclaim it. We must go out and talk about it. We must do it because it shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish what I please. The gospel of Jesus doesn't accomplish what you please. It accomplishes what he pleases. So we got to know what the gospel is. Do you even know what the gospel is? I mean, I'm talking about this gospel like everybody knows what it is. Do you know it enough that it's holy, holy, holy in your life? Do you know the gospel well enough that you believe it? Like we started with this sermon, that you really, really believe it. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great chapter just to understand this. And I'm just going to read like the first four verses. And he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and in wherein ye stand. All right, this is the gospel that he preached to them, and they ought to be standing in it. Amen? You ought to be standing in the gospel. Verse 2, by which also you were saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Catch that very closely. Sticking in the gospel, staying in it, not just believing it once, but walking in it daily, holding on to it, unless you believe in vain. All right? So you can believe and still be in vain. Amen? So you've got to hold on to the truth of God's word. For I declare unto you, in verse 3, I declare unto you first, of all which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Part one of the gospel, Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures. It was prophesied how he was going to die. It was prophesied when he was going to die. It was prophesied what he was going to die for. All of that is in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, right? You can look it up for yourself. I got it all written down, but we're already past 12. Amen. And so, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Amen? Now, this is the truth, this is the gospel. Jesus came, God manifested in flesh to die for your sin. And that he not only died for your sin, but he rose. Three men died on crosses that day. Three men. One rose again. Amen. One had the power over death. One was able to, his blood was righteous. His blood was the only blood that could be brought before the mercy seat of God and sprinkled for your sin. And that is the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of God manifested in flesh for your rottenness, for your sin, for their sin. And we're supposed to go out and proclaim that. He died for me. And he died for you. Amen. God wants us to be not ashamed of that, but to proclaim it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite of God unto salvation. That what's going to blow sin apart, what's going to break it into pieces is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many who are in the church are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a scenario, and it might go this way. You're at work, or you're at school, you're at wherever you're at, and you're around a bunch of folks there, And the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to walk into that crowd and you need to proclaim my name. And you say, well, God, if I do that, I'll get fired. Okay? God, if I do that, my friends at the in the lunchroom, they're going to laugh at me. They're not going to like me anymore. God didn't ask you to be liked by the world. God said, do what I told you to. Proclaim, not be ashamed. See, often we're ashamed of the gospel. We won't go and tell them because we don't want them to dislike us. Well, I tell you this, I've told you it before, and in my personal life, I'm going to blurt it out to you one more time. I would rather be hated by the world and loved by God than hated by God and loved by the world. Amen? You got to have that in your heart. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power unto salvation to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. It's the power. People, we need to go back and start redigging the wells. We might be ashamed of where our of the truth. People in America, church in America, I'm afraid that we're ashamed of the righteousness of God. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 12 and 32, and I'm going to close here. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Jesus was talking about his crucifixion there. I want to talk about your personal witness of Jesus Christ. He promised you this. If you lift him high, if you lift up Jesus Christ high, he will do the work. He'll draw all men unto himself. But we got to lift him up. We got to praise him. We got to lift up his name. We got to lift up his righteousness. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't be ashamed of it. We can't, no longer can the church afford to stand with unrighteousness. Amen. Jesus, he didn't stand with unrighteousness, although he loved the unrighteous. Amen. I love the unrighteousness, but I will not put my stand with them. We have got to get our walk right with Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to do the right thing, regardless of what is the popular thing. The popular thing right now is ungodliness. God says, no, you're my people. Shine your light into darkness. Because the light isn't your light. The light is the glory of God that fills the temple. Here's a clue. Where's the temple of God? Amen, Cliff, you're right. You are the temple of God. It's not this building, it's you. And the glory of God is supposed to be beaming through you, shining out into the darkness, inviting all into the warm glow of its loving embrace. Oh, but if we take that glow of God and cover it under a bushel, we'll just burn the house down. Amen? Because Jesus talks about it being a candle also, right? And he says no candle is supposed to be covered up by a bushel. Have you ever taken a wicker basket and covered it with a candle? It doesn't last long before the house burns down. Amen? Folks, if you take this power, this gospel of Jesus Christ that's in you and you cover it up, it's not going to be long before you burn down. And you won't have nothing to give God. Folks, I love you. I agape you. I do. But I want you to love Jesus. Amen? More than the world. What I want out of you is a sincerity of Christianity. Not just to talk about being a Christian, but to really and truly be a Christian. Amen? We got enough muley mouth folks. We got enough folks talking about it, not living it, right? We need to be living it. And the only way you can live it is to read it, to study it, to apply it to your life, and not be ashamed of the light that's inside of you. Will they hate you? Yeah. Jesus says, know this, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Are you prepared for that? See, I can't force you. My heart's breaking for America because there's too many folks in the church not standing for Jesus. Why is it so crazy in the world, in America? Why? Why are these liberals and why are these things happening all over? Why is ungodliness filtering through every aspect of the American life. It's because the church has remained silent, ashamed of the gospel, until we've reached this low. This is a low. We are in the putrid belly of ungodliness. Amen? And it takes God to lift us out. Anyhow, folks, I love you. I know that wasn't a high lift me up, make me feel good sermon. But I hope this will make you get up. I hope that this will make you want Jesus to be first and foremost in your life. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I didn't get better to come to Christ. I came to Christ and I got better. Amen. Amen. That's what He's asking us to do. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Someone can tap on the window to bring my wife. Dear Father, I thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and Your righteousness. Father, I thank You for Your Word. O Holy Spirit of God, please allow the church to hear what You have said. Father, I pray that You would raise up a standard in this day of wickedness. Father, and that standard would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. O Father, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Please, God, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, encourage us. Make us bold to proclaim Your good news. Father, we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.